Thanks for being here with the Bridgestone Canadian Superbike Championship podcast. My name is Marshall Ferguson. I appreciate you, as always, following along, subscribing. If you listen to part one of this conversation, awesome. You know exactly where we are picking up. We just look back at 2023 with myself and Ross Milson, the series owner and national events manager of the CSBK. Now we are looking forwards here in part two of our conversation. And we're also looking forward to everything that's going on in Daytona this week, with so many names that we will get to in this conversation, heading down and trying to show everything that they are capable of against some of the very best in North America. So let's pick it up where we left it off with myself and Ross and everything he is doing to try and build out the paddock and the experience for fans in 2024. I know in some of the conversations that we've had off air that there's a lot that goes into this, and you are basically trying to find a way to get anybody and everybody who likes two wheels to come out to the track. And I think that is such an incredible way to try and draw not just crowds, but interest at large.
Oh, no, for sure. And like, what we do is pretty amazing. And it's a difficult thing. Like, you know, it's demoralizing to be at a bike show and someone say, I didn't know there was racing. Like, that's not cool. Right. So, you know, we got to do what we can do to promote it and get the word out. And, you know, the bagger thing is an opportunity. We're going to have Flat Track Canada at Shannonville on Saturday night at round one. We're going to that information should get out there publicly here shortly. But again, like if you can come to a CSBK event at Shannonville, you can, you know, round one, May long weekend, whether you camp or whether you're by the weekend passing, you're staying somewhere else or at home. You know, Saturday night, our program ends, you know, in the late afternoon. You're going to be able to wander over to the right next door to, like, right beside turn one, there's Dirt Oval. And that they're going to start practice probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then night program kicks off under the lights. And it's a national flat track round, opening round with our opening round on the same weekend. And, you know, with the Fallen Rider Pace Law team there, there's going to be all kinds of different stuff to do than we've had in the past. Like they're going to have a bunch of different activities. They're going to have live entertainment. And it's going to make the event just that much more of an event. So, you know, if you're going to bring your, you know, bring the family out for the day, there's more stuff to do. There's more stuff to see. Like, there's retailers. There's obviously at certain events, we're going to have drag racing and stunt shows and all, like at Grand Bend. That'll be, you know, a big event, a much bigger event than it's been in the past. And at CTMP, with the space and the venue that is, you know, baggers on the racetrack, but also there'll be the stunt show down in the lower paddock with the stage and all the cool stuff that's going to be going on. So, and even the manufacturers, like, we're going to have more demo rides than we've had in more OEM displays. And we're getting back to kind of pre-COVID level or even before, you know, getting back to making it a big event. And there's a bunch of really cool stuff that is coming. And there's a few projects that if they pan out here in the next week or two or three, it'll just, you know, help make these events that much more of something that everyone, whether you're a motorcycle enthusiast, whether it's, you know, whether it's dirt street, you know, long distance stuff, enduro stuff, whatever, you know, if the OEMs are there, if there's more than just the road racing going on, if there's more depth and breadth to the event, you know, it's something you're going to want to bring your family to and spend the day. And and that's kind of, you know, the goal is to help build these events out and make it so it's impossible for a motorcyclist or a motorcycle manufacturer or sponsors to not want to be involved in the program. And you know, adding Bridgestone and their commitment to the series has been a huge help. You know, we added Gulf Fuels here for the next 3 years to match the remaining term of the Bridgestone contract. And those are two, you know, key technical partners that give, you know, me extreme confidence. And also our competitors know that it's these tires and this fuel for the next 3 years at minimum. And, you know, we'll definitely try to re-up those deals as we get closer to the end of them. But it's just that kind of deal. We're trying to choose the right partners, and we're trying to build these events out. And I think, you know, we've made some really good moves. And like the Pace Law guys, the Fallen Rider team, they're going to be joining us for the Ontario events. They're not going to be making the trips to the to the far ones. You know, we got work to do there. And the Edmonton group, we're working pretty hard to try to do some extra stuff out there. And well, Shuby's always entertaining. So, you know, we don't need to bring too much more to that party, but hopefully we can, you know, we can involve the regional club and maybe find, you know, find a few more things to bring to the show. But it's an important part of it. And the events, you know, need to stand on their own 2 feet. And, and the TV show on that side of things. Again, it's, I look at the production quality that you know, Cam and you guys have brought to the table here the last few years. It's better and better. And, you know, I'm hopeful we can do a bit more with the YouTube this year and kind of, yep. We spoke earlier about, you know, kind of painting the whole picture or telling the whole story. And I'm hopeful that we can utilize that platform a little bit, maybe to do a pre and a post like the podcast. And again, that's, yep. I'm really excited to be able to kind of, you know, give people a bigger kind of peek behind the curtain as to the event itself and the competitors and what they're doing and their personalities and the stories, because there are so many of them.
I learned that walking into the paddock for the round one at Shannonville last year, where I'm like, hey, who's this guy? And you're 30 seconds in the conversation. You're like, Tommy Cassis, you're from where?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Oh, you're a kin student right now, and he's like, yeah. Like, I hurt my wrist last year, but I'm fixing it myself because I understand it. I'm like, that's a great story. Like, I'd love to hear more about that. So
it goes on and on. And that's the thing, right? And, you know, I was excited, obviously, to have you kind of on the team here last year. Yeah. And I knew that you were going to be good at the job. I knew you were the right fit for the job, because usually I'm the first guy to get there and the last guy to leave. And we were at the regional at Shannonville, and you were there with your notepad. And I'm driving out the gate, I look over, and you were still there. You were still talking to riders, and it was late. And I couldn't believe it. And I was just, again, I was thrilled. And I knew that you were going to dive in with, you know, like head first into this thing and really dig deep and try to get up to speed and figure out what the hell is going on.
Because it's too fun not to. That's the problem, right? Is that, like, once I got in and I started wandering around and getting to know some of the stories, yeah. and again, adding what you're adding in for 2024 to make it more approachable for everybody, I think it still comes back to the racing. And the racing, yep. speaks for itself.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what's so great about this, is that the racing quality is something that everybody can appreciate regardless of what your understanding or your experience or whether you ride or whether you don't. Or
absolutely. And, like, when you, if we're talking motocross, flat track, road racing, like, you know, if you stand there and you watch it, as a motorcyclist, of any discipline, when you stand there and watch the top level guys do their thing, it is freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, I can look at road racing, whether it, you know, pick the level, right? whether it's production bike stuff or I have an appreciation and I think I have an understanding of what they do and how they're doing it, right? But it is incredible. And when I watch a flat track national or a supercross or an outdoor national, it blows my mind. It just how these guys are able to judge the grip and know exactly what to do. And when you really think about it, when you really sit there and you watch a guy like Ben or, you know, the top level guys, any of them, even the amateurs, like when you watch, yeah. what those humans are doing and the shapes they're making, and you know how fine the inputs are on that brake lever, on that throttle, and how much of the rider's weight and what that does dynamically to the motorcycle, it's an incredible thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't matter what discipline, you know, what your bag is in motorcycling. If you come to one of these events, or any top level national event for that matter, and you watch these guys do what they do, it is incredible. And it is pretty amazing what a human can do. And I don't think we're going to have any AI generated motorcycles anytime soon, because it is a very dynamic thing, and it is incredible to watch. And I'm really happy. You know, I didn't want the series to go away. Not that I don't think I would have, but I wanted to get it to help it grow.
Yep.
And, you know, and we all owe Colin a debt of gratitude. He's done this forever.
Yes.
And, you know, he is a walking encyclopedia, as you know.
Yep.
but it was, you know, it was, the timing was right for us. And I really feel like, you know, 24 is going to be a continuation of 23 and more, you know, things are going to get better and move forward. And that's the exciting bit of it. I feel like people, you know, do sense the optimism and the excitement and the progress, and I'm really excited to go where we're going and where we're headed. And
right.
you know, I just actually, my computer just dinged, and there's a release here from Bridgestone that went out this morning, kind of covering the 200 and all the riders that are going down from all the different places. But to see this many Canadians on the grid down there is fantastic.
Yes.
And you know, it's just another example of some of the positivity. We got a lot of people that are excited to go ride their motorcycles, and you know, and the number one, you know, when it comes to mission statement of CSBK, like the number one on that list is to develop Canadian talent and get them onto the world stage. That's why we're here. That's why this thing exists, in my opinion. And we made some big steps. We are now, you know, when FIM, our CSBK schedule is on the FIM calendar for the first time ever. And that's fantastic. So riders in Canada, when they buy a CSBK membership, they get a CMA membership now, which is great. And then it's basically one form to get your FIM international race license. So that takes away a barrier, you know, not a barrier, but it takes away, it does. It makes it very simple for our guys to go elsewhere and also for other people to come in. And so to have the CSBK schedule on that list is important. And I think that, you know, it just positions us where we should have been all along. We weren't there for a bunch of different reasons, and I spent the last, you know, 10 years trying to understand it. But I am very, very happy. And Colin and I went down to Texas, I think it was 2021, if memory serves right, and we wrote the FIM exams. So we're both clerk of the course and stewards. And that was kind of step one. And a lot of that was actually because of Tony Sharpless. Yep. and the mini stuff to get those kids on that program. And again, I'm thrilled with what she's doing as well, because now these little guys can get overseas and you know, get in these big international events. And my wife and I went over to Spain, to Valencia, to see that for the first time ever. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was like the Olympics of motorcycle racing for kids. It was incredible.
I was watching on YouTube. It looked amazing.
Like the freaking, some of these countries send like a delegation, like full on, like all matching suits and uniforms, and the kids are out of school and the government's paying the families to homeschool them and they're riding every day. Like, it's a whole different thing. And, you know, to be in that paddock was cool. And then obviously to wander over to the Mugello circuit there for the GP final was pretty cool too. And my wife's never been to a European MotoGP round, and, it was quite the experience for her. And I think there was 197,000 people there on race day or something like that. And, you know, no national series in the world is going to do anything like that, but,
inspirational though. I think
to be in that atmosphere.
Right.
And, Mexican wave is not the coolest thing in the world, but when you see it rolling around a racetrack again and again and again, and there's these two Spanish announcers that sound like they're on fire, yelling at each other, and the crowd is electric. It was a cool environment to be in. And it does give you that kick in the pants and that bit of hope, same as the bike shows do, right? It does energize you for the season that's coming. But Daytona is going to be that this year for us as well. Like, we're going down there, and it's going to be freaking amazing.
So that's what I wanted to get to here, is that, you know, we were talking about the excellence and all the rest of, you know, going out. I don't know if it's something that comes necessarily with just aging itself, but as I've gotten older, I've just come to appreciate when people are great at what they do. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, I go to a Toronto Rock lacrosse game here in Hamilton with a couple of friends, and I suggest it, and they're like, why do you want to go to that? I'm like, they're just great at it.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's fun to just watch people who are great at the thing. I'm like, I don't care. I'll turn on TSN 5 at 1 a.m. and watch Aussie Rules Football. Why?
Yep.
Because they're just great at it. 100%. So that brings me to not just Ben Young, because there's a lot of talented Canadians going down here, but Daytona as an entity for Canadians, you have an understanding of what it has been, and then that gives you the appreciation of what it is this year. Again, I'm spoiled because I'm new to it, and it sounds like this is one of the best delegations that Canada and CSBK has sent before. But when I saw the release come out and I started doing, which by the way, this is just a habit. I don't know why I'm doing prep. I'm doing prep for the Daytona 200 like I'm calling it. I have a call sheet with all these notes and all these, and it's like I'm writing down notes on like, CJ, you know, any of these guys that are down there, like Josh Aaron and all the rest, trying to understand them.
Yep.
And it's just because it's so much fun to see the Moto America guys line up next to Ben Young and Trevor Daly on Team Battlelox with Bridgestone.
Yep.
It's you have, Trevor Dion going down, who made the jump from sport bike to super bike, and started on the Kawasaki last year, ends up on the Ducati. He's riding a Ducati V2, I believe. He sent me a picture the other day of his livery for it. Thing looks like the friggin' Batmobile, like black. He's got the Economy Lube and Tire sponsorship. Like, there's a lot of energy going into Daytona that I'm really hopeful this is going to go well for as many of our Canadians as possible, because I have a feeling that is going to supercharge everything going into Shannonville on May long weekend.
Oh, 100%. And like the 200 is, it's a race with some history for sure. It used to be, or it was, one of the biggest races in the world. And it's made, in the last few years here, it's made some leaps and bounds back towards that. I mean, you know, we've got, you know, guys from, I think it's 13 countries, but, you know, just the Yamaha Endurance guys coming over, on the Bridgestones, as well as, you know, England and Portugal riders as well. But from our grid, like Garan and Alexander Michel and Simpson and McRae and Sear and Tremblay and Coelho, like and Daly and Young, like it is incredible that we have this many guys making the trip down and making that commitment financially and time-wise. Like, this is not a sprint race. These guys are having to build fueling systems and make their own or buy or beg or borrow or steal quick change stuff for the pit stops. It is a huge amount of work. And I've done a few 8-hour races down there back in the day. We had a series that was called Moto ST, and actually Colin ran it. Mm-hmm. And it was a great, it was the best. It was a great time, but the amount of people you got to bring and the amount of work you have to do, the amount of preparation that's required is insane compared to a sprint race.
Right.
And at a 200 mile race like this, it is a coin toss. You put yourself in the best, like any race, but 11, right? You put yourself in the best position you possibly can. And you got to have a little bit of luck.
Yep.
And if you watch last year's race with that dash at the end, it was just, you did all that work. And in the end, it became just a throwdown, fist fight. I hope we get good weather. I hope we don't have that situation. I hope the guys get to run the full 200 miles. I know all the guys that are going are fit and they're all just absolutely raring to go. And I think like that's, one of the most underappreciated things about the guys, the top guys in our series. These guys work their asses off.
Yep.
And I probably shouldn't swear on the podcast,
but
they work so hard. And like, it's the teams, it's the guys, it's the prep, it's the bikes, but it's the riders themselves. And, whether it's someone like Jordan Zoke, who's 14-time champion, been doing this forever, or Ben, who's raced, he's raced in BSB, he's raced in Moto America, he's raced a lot of places on a lot of different bikes for a lot of years. And these guys take this extremely seriously. And I live in Hamilton, I'll be driving out towards Cambridge, and it'll be it'll be a miserable, rainy, windy, crummy day, and there'll be some complete monkey on a pedal bike going up Highway 5 in a headwind. And I'm like, what is this guy thinking? Right? And I'm driving along thinking, this guy's a maniac. Like, what the hell? And then it's Jordan Zoke.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know that I'm 30 minutes from where he lives, roughly, and he's out there doing the thing. And I know that all these guys.
Well, you followed them on social media.
Yeah.
Anybody who does, and I suggest, again, following at CDN Superbike, but you get a chance to see all of these different, the preparations that go into it.
Yep.
I laugh because I'm somebody who just loves hopping on the stationary bike, because having a 3-year-old, if you can squeeze in a 20-minute ride on a bike, it's better than, going for a long walk, whatever. So I will compare, my Fitbit stats to the things that are posted on social media sometimes.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, Ben Young did a 4-hour, 58-kilometer round-trip bike through the hills of the Blue Mountains, and his heart rate consistently was at 165.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not normal.
No, sometimes I wonder, can they hack those things? Is this really true? But no, but when you see these guys in action, it is true, and it is incredible. And, that it is, you can't knock them. These guys work their absolute butts off, and so do the teams. And that's the thing. If you're going to compete, you've got to put the work in. And there's, it's not an easy thing. And every single guy down there that's on the grid for the 200, especially the guys anywhere remotely close to the front, they are invested in every way possible. And I can't wait to get down there. I love Daytona. Like I said, I've done a few long distance races there, and it is endurance racing is awesome. I wish we could figure a way to get it back up here in a big way, or do some big races. And that is maybe in the plans. Right. Maybe we do some crazy, outlaw, I don't know, some one day, but it is a really unique form of motorcycle racing, whether it's a multiple rider team or whether it's long distance with single rider. I love it, and I cannot wait to get down there, and I can't wait to see you. We'll get you in the garages there, and we'll make sure we get some of the guys on the pod, and we'll interview some of the bagger guys hopefully as well. But it's a whole different thing, and it's a big place, and it's a lot of fun. I cannot wait to get there. And
when you have this many people that are in and around, or CSBK adjacent, or them, or you've understood them for a long time, you've worked hand in hand with them and helping grow their opportunities, the series as a whole, how do you view it going down, where it's like, you've got this record number, and I would imagine that you just want to see all of them do great, right? The whole thing is just trying to create positivity and be like, any way that I can help you guys while I'm down here.
Yeah, 100%. And I wish I had $1 million to help everybody, but I don't. But it's, to me, I do not, and I mean it, I do not have a favorite. I do not wish one guy any better than the other guys.
Right.
And it's funny, I get asked a lot if I miss the race, and I'll find myself at all our rounds, when those pro classes are out on the track, I'll find myself picking up garbage. I'll find myself doing anything I can do not to watch the race. And it's bonkers, but it's it does drive me crazy. I want to be out there, and I love the out there this weekend. But But no, like it's for me, it's just, you know, the way things are currently, like we don't have a bunch of Canadian journalists making the trip down.
Right.
And CSBK is not flush with cash, but it makes sense that you're going to be down there, that we're going to have Cam Bickle there and Colin there, right? Because that team can get a lot done. We can report on what we're seeing, what's happening on the ground there for our fans, for our riders, but also for the industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you'll see things that Colin and Cam Wright picked up by a bunch of different publications across the country. But, you know, it's important that we go. And this is, we've never had this many Canadians on the grid, you know, ever. And I've asked the questions of all the great minds and the old timers that, you know, their knowledge is, you know, I was born in 82 and these guys were racing or have been there since the 70s. And, there's never been this many guys on the grid from Canada. And there were times where we were well represented down there. We had Canadian riders on U.S. teams. We have Canadians going down. But this is something special this year. And we definitely have to get down there. And I'm super excited that we're going to be there. And we're going to actually capture, real-time reactions from these guys, both video and on the pod and everything else. And just really, you know, I'm sure years from now, these guys, like, you're never going to forget this kind of experience. I just hope, like, I hope we get the weather, yep. Fingers crossed. And it's one of those things. Some of these guys are going to have a great day. Other guys are going to have their heart broken. And that's the reality of what the 200 is going to be. Right. And it is a, I don't want to use the term meat grinder, but it's tough on equipment and it takes a bit of luck. And no matter how much prep you do, and that's the one thing I love about motorcycle racing. It's the best and the worst part of it is, you know, you can absolutely see a man at work. There's no mystery to it. Like, you know, when you make a mistake, it's plain to see, right? And it's all on the rider when it comes to, you know, when it comes to what he has to do on the track. This race in particular is unique because there's the crew and the pit stop is a big part of it too, right? So it's there's a lot of opportunity for things to go awry or go wrong. But if everything lines up perfect and if it's your day, it's a pretty awesome feeling and I cannot wait. And like I say, there's going to be some disappointed people. There's going to be some very happy people. And I just hope that the majority of the guys or all the guys that possibly can have a great weekend. And I hope everyone gets to the grid. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing. I hope everyone takes that first start. If there's an issue in testing pre-event or if there's an issue in practice qualifying pre-event and they don't get to make that start, to me, that would be an absolute heartbreak. And again, I may find myself driving around to a bike wrecking yard or trying to find engines or whatever we have to do to help whoever we have to help. But that's the one good thing about this many people being down. There's going to be lots of hands. Yeah. So I absolutely know that if one guy has a problem, everyone down there is going to jump in to make sure that we know that everyone has the best possible chance to make it out there. So, right. It's going to be great. And I can't wait to see your reaction down there because it's something completely different.
Yes.
And when you watch those bikes roll through the trial for the first time, it's a pretty cool experience for sure. So we'll get around. We'll get you in the garages.
I'm going to be a 12-year-old.
We'll get you all over the place, up in the tower, and we'll get you down into the horseshoe and all over that racetrack because you got to see it for some different points. And the chicane off the back is
be pretty
just
special.
Nuts. Yeah, it's all good.
I've watched enough of it to try and download information on watching the YouTube broadcast, and it's like, yeah, I get it because, you know, I grew up watching, whether it be NASCAR or otherwise IndyCar, at Watkins Glen on television. But when you're sitting at the top of the S's at Watkins Glen for the first time and 800 horsepower comes flying up the hill straight into your face, it's different. And that's what I'm excited about. But it's also, I love the idea that the Canadian contingent is like, yeah, okay, so you got a Ducati over here with Trevor Dion and he's going to be riding on Dunlops. You got the Bridgestone guys and Team Battleax going down. You got all these different mixing and matching and different approaches and funding and sponsors and... But they're all Canadian, and everybody understands that. Like, yeah, we are going down, and there is a common respect throughout the paddock at CSBK that will carry down into Daytona. So
100%.
I'm super excited to see what that looks like. I'll ask you a couple more quick ones here.
Yep.
The Gulf Race Fuel news.
Yes.
I know you mentioned it kind of in passing, but it is a big deal, and the partnership with the Bridgestone stuff. But why is Gulf Racing Fuels on board, and what does that look like for the series?
Yeah. So basically, Gulf Fuels are our new spec fuel provider for the next 3 years. And that, again, that was made sense that it matches the remaining term for the Bridgestone contract. So we're consistent. Our competitors know what the plan is for the next little while. So that was a big part of the deal. It is a, it's a good company. They're excited to work with the series, which is great. And there's two fuels that we're going to have, or the competitors have access to for that duration. And the good thing about them, and it's been interesting getting into this role and having more long form conversations with sponsors or potential sponsors. And you touched on obviously what's going on in the world with weather and that sort of thing. And like the Golf Classic, which is the, I guess like the, it's not, I shouldn't say lower tier. It's a 93 octane. It's an alkylate fuel. It is an extremely high quality fuel. It's got like a 3-year shelf life. Like it's non-ethanol. It's a really, really high quality fuel. And that stuff out the tailpipe is measurably cleaner burning than, you know, what we used previously by, you know, back like 40 or 60%, depending on which fuel we're talking about. Like it is a significantly cleaner burning fuel. So less harmful emissions out the tailpipe. So it's just, again, it's one extra little cool thing we can point to. And some of these companies that we've been talking to, like the third question, like, who are you? What do you do? The third question is, what are you doing to reduce your environmental, you know, environmental footprint? And with both Bridgestone and Gulf, our technical partners, we can say with some conviction that we are making positive changes for a bunch of different reasons, right? These companies are aware, and they have programs or products that are, we use less, right, or burn cleaner. So we can definitely, you know, with conviction and truthfully say that it is on our mind, and we are trying to make steps to be a bit more environmentally responsible, right? Riding around in circles is not necessarily, you know, something that has to happen, but having these guys out in the street is not ideal. We want to give them the opportunity to test themselves in competition. But we do have to be aware that, when it comes even to noise, we're trying to make steps, one, to keep these racetracks open, two, to justify our existence, and three, make sure that we're doing what we can do to, if we can make a decision that reduces consumption or reduces our emissions, then we're going to make that decision. And I don't know where this thing is going to be in 10 years, but, you know, it's obvious that the world is changing at a pretty quick pace. So, and the manufacturers are starting to introduce some different product to market. So things will change. But for now, you know, we've got to make the best choices we can. And to go to a fuel that's, you know, made with a synthetic process that is, again, much more clean burning, is good. And those guys, you met them briefly at the Toronto show. They flew in, Jeff flew in, and we had a good sit down, and they're fired up. They're really excited about the potential of this thing. They're going to have their staff on site as well. And that's a big thing when it comes to what we have to do in the paddock. And, you know, definitely the competitors see it with Bridgestone, with their engineers and their staff on hand at every round. They're going to see that at the same level of commitment with Gulf. They're going to be on site, you know, helping CSBK, you know, enforce our technical kind of regulations and make sure that the competition, like the playing field, is level. But also answer any questions and make sure that, you know, that our competitors, you know, are all good. And not that they're going to be developing product in our series, but they're definitely going to be monitoring, right? And it's one of those things where both of these companies, they are learning from what they're seeing in our events. Like it's a pretty rigorous form of testing your product, and it's an opportunity for these guys to see what their product's doing in the real world. And I couldn't be more thrilled. These are two very, very good technical partners that we have for the next 3 years. And
essential to success.
100%.
I love that. And then the last thing I'll ask you before I get you, Ross, and thanks for giving me so much of your time.
I
appreciate it. Yeah. I know you got things you got to do, but something near and dear to your heart, something that I guess, like everything else, downloaded quickly last year, which was the importance of the Revs for Rep program and being able to raffle off the bike that was at the end of the season, which I know was a really fun moment to see everybody huddled around praying that they would have their number drawn. And what is this program? What does it mean? And the origins of it?
Yeah. So my wife, Sabrina, and I, we have a couple daughters, and Ella, our youngest, was born in 2015. And she progressed normally. Yep. You know, she was a happy, beautiful little girl. And she still is happy and beautiful, but she, everything was good. She hit all our milestones up till about 3. And then one day she just had a massive regression and she stopped using her hands, stopped talking. It was a bad day.
Right.
And what she has is, it's called Rett syndrome, and it's a neurological disorder. It's a genetic thing. It's, you know, pretty rare. Every time you make a kid, you're kind of rolling the cosmic dice in one form or another. And Rett syndrome is, you know, 1 in 10,000 kind of thing. It affects girls, and it's a rare, you know, neurological disorder, and it really does you know, it affects the fine motor skills and speech and all those sort of things the most. But yeah, so, you know, she was diagnosed November 8th, I think, 2018. And we started Red Threat in 2019. So this is, we're going into year six here. And so far we've raised and donated over $50,000 in those first 5 years. Amazing. So, you know, the kind of goal is to spread awareness about Rett syndrome, and, you know, bring attention to rare disease. It's one of those things, it's actually kind of funny, we're sitting here on February 28th because February 29th is Rare Disease Day. They picked the leap year because it's rare, right? So normally on 28th, which is today, yep. I know this is going out next week.
No, that's
but,
okay.
But it's normally on February 28th, you know, we're putting out a post or we're answering some questions. And my wife, Sabrina, she's the president of the Ontario Rett Association. And that's kind of, that's a big commitment for her, obviously, and for our family. And Revs for Rett is kind of under that umbrella. So Orse is a, you know, near and dear to our heart, obviously. And we had, it was funny, in 2021 at Calabogie, we had a girl named Zoe there with Ella. So we had two Rett girls in the Amazing. Paddock. So we set a new CSPK record for for attendance for children with Rett syndrome. But it's one of those things, man. Like, you know, you meet a girl and you get married and you decide to have a family. And of all the ways I thought my life was going to be challenged, I never would have thought this was something that would have happened. But Ella is an amazing little girl, and she has taught me so much, or us so much. She is an inspiration in every measurable way. And, you know, it's just one of those things where we want to do what we can. And I didn't know what Rett syndrome was, obviously. And there's so many different genetic disorders. I mean, one great thing about technology and all the research that goes on, you know, her quality of life is much better and will be much better than those girls that have come before her. And as, you know, with gene therapy and some of the technology that's being worked on, perhaps there'll be a treatment one day, but right now there's none.
Right.
So all we can do is you know, spread awareness and raise funds. The research is ongoing without a doubt. And, you know, again, I mentioned my wife's the president of the Ontario Rett Association, and they brought the first clinical trial to Canada here for Rett syndrome ever this summer. And, it was a small phase 2 clinical trial, but it is hope. And again, it's one of those things, the more, you know, everyone has their stuff, and the more time you spend in a children's hospital, the more you realize that there's a lot of families and a lot of people out there that are hurting for a lot of different reasons, or any, and we all have our stuff, and we're all products of our environment, we're all products of our experience. But, you know, this has been for us, you know, obviously it's changed our lives, you know, and I want to say for the better. It is challenging without a doubt, but, it's incredible. And, we've been blessed to meet and have so many friendships and meet so many people that are on the same journey as we are. And, it's one of those things where, I mean, it changes your perspective on everything for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those things where sometimes, you know, I personally feel like maybe we shouldn't, you know, do it at the racetrack sort of thing, but it's one of those things now that we've been with this many years in, we meet the same people at CTMP every year,
and they're
so excited to be there, and they're excited to see Sabrina and talk about it, and the response and the support of all these people have been amazing. And you know, we've got other people in the paddock that have other issues, and I think that you know, there will be a time maybe where we do something different, or we you know, maybe select events we kind of pivot back and forth. But you know, I've got a brother with a son that has autism. You know, there's a couple of fellows in our paddock that have children that are affected as well. And it's one of those things. And if it's, I mean, it could be cancer, you pick the thing, right?
Well, this is the thing, though, about saying, you know, whether or not you should be doing it in the paddock and everybody's got something, just because you're trying to help something that is, yes, near and dear to you, but also, yeah. I just think that it builds a compassion throughout the paddock where people are more open to having conversations about the different challenges that they're going, whether it's family, health, otherwise, where it creates this different kind of energy that, in all honesty, in professional sport is very difficult to harness because it's a cutthroat business. It's all about who comes first, good, they win, they get the money, they move on with their day. And it's like, I love that this is involved despite the obvious challenges of it. But I also think, you know, we've talked about the strength that you and Sabrina have had to go through with the tornadoes and the everything. And there's nothing like having, obviously, your kids having to go through something difficult. Yeah. So I commend you for not shying away from it and also involving it in and around the paddock. So I'll put links for Revs for Rhett in the show description and the Ontario branch as well.
Revs for Rhett, for sure. And I appreciate that. And like I say, it's one of those things that we all have our stuff and we are grateful for the support we've received. And there was nothing better than delivering that Aprilia RS660 to that young fellow that won it last year. And it couldn't have gone to a better kid because he was riding he bought a smaller displacement motorcycle. He was riding a bike on the street in Shure. Like he was doing it proper. He'd done his school, done his training, was wearing all the gear all the time. And he was at that point where the bike he was on, and it happens, you buy a bike that's small and affordable and accessible and insurable. But he was ready to make that next step. And man, it was just the best. He had all his family there and we dropped it off and the kid was, he was 10 feet tall. And I felt awful because, you know, shout out to Aprilia and to Studio Cycle in Toronto. Everything was registered. The bike was plated in his name. He actually got in touch with the owner. And so everything was done. The bike arrived plated and ready to rock, but I didn't put fuel in it. So I went to the dealer, it was PDI. They put like maybe a liter and a half of fuel in it. Yeah. So I felt awful. So basically the kid's all jazzed up to go. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to follow you to the gas station. I got the trailer in it. Follow you to the station, make sure you're good. Yeah. But that was actually awesome too. Because we got to see him make his first, whatever, kilometer.
Amazing.
And gave us a wave as we went by. But I know he's having fun with it. And this year we're going to do more of the same, but we're talking to a couple of different manufacturers. We had we did a used bike the first year. It was a Suzuki, and actually Daly did some customization work on that machine. Learned after that it's got to be a new machine to do it all above board. So we had to pivot a little bit, and we did a Honda Grom, which is like an entry level like kind of scooter bike, and then we set that to the Aprilia RS660 here last year. So for this year we're going to do we'll do something, and we got a couple of different manufacturers we're talking to. I kind of want to spread it around, but
awesome.
But the response has been fantastic, and it is great to give something back. And again, Scorpion Helmets, BS Battery, Aprilia, and all the people out there. Like there's guys in the pack that I've known for years. I got a call the other day from Nathan Naslin, who was a former general manager of Suzuki Canada. And he actually cut me checks to go racing way back in the day. And he had bought a new Triumph from GP Bikes,
nice.
one of our sponsors. And the deal was, if you buy a brand new motorcycle, they were giving you a really nice pedal bike, like as part of the deal.
Right.
And he's like, Ross, I have enough pedal bikes and I'm not going to ride this thing. So come pick it up and put it in the auction at Motorsport. And it's just like that. He didn't have to do that. He could put it on Marketplace and made some money. But that means the world to me. So we got a lot of really good people that understand what we're doing. And again, if the only thing I would encourage, I know I've been rambling.
No.
The only thing I would encourage people, and I was as ignorant as anybody else, right? I would look at a disabled child or someone that had issues and, you'd walk around, right? But look these kids in the eyes, say hello, talk to them. Yep. And my daughter, despite, what you might think, she's all there. And we have you can see the stand here for the gaze system. And where she holds her eyes, and this is a new therapy we're working on right now, where she holds her eyes, it verbalizes what she's looking at. So it starts off as like a yes or a no. And you can actually get you ask her a question and she'll answer. And then it evolves from there. And I met a young girl early on in our voyage, and gave me so much hope. She was 16 years of age, and she passed away, unfortunately. But she gave me so much hope because she was able to talk with that device. Amazing. And she had all these pre-programmed sentence fragments in there, and she was able to talk faster than I could possibly text to me via this device. And it gave us, our family, so much hope that we'd be able to get to that point with our daughter and have that communication and to know what she needs, what she wants, or how she feels. And we've been working with this device here for the last year and a half, and it's fantastic. And it just, despite what you may think, look that child in the eyes, say hello, interact, don't be afraid. And you will be amazed at the response you get. And it's one of those things, again, we spend a lot of time around a lot of kids and with all kinds of different ailments in these hospitals. And whether it's the parents, whether it's the kid, just saying hello and not making that big walk around them. They're on a journey. You know nothing about it. And that's all people for that matter. Just be kind, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I couldn't
agree
more.
What I'm trying to say.
In the age of, I use social media less and less than I ever have before because people seem to be getting meaner and meaner based on the things that are around us. Yeah. I think that's the perfect way for us to wrap up this conversation.
Yes, sir.
Come to the CSBK paddock, get excited for Daytona, and be nice to each other.
Marsh and I'll give you a hug. Come on out.
Yes, exactly. Looking forward to that. Again, if you would like to connect with all things Canadian Superbike, at CDN Superbike is the best way to do it. I am at @TSN_Marsh on Twitter and Instagram. If you'd like to message me something nice, you can do so there. The DMs are open. Always dangerous, but they are open in case anybody would like to be able to check in with that. And we are headed to Daytona, and we will see how the Canadian contingent does. Ross, thank you for all the time.
Oh, and again, thank you, and apologies. I apologize to all the listeners for my rambling, but again, there's lots to be excited about.
That is going to do it for us here on the Ross Milson sit down on the Bridgestone Canadian Superbike Championship podcast. Again, my thanks to Ross. I could not have enjoyed the conversation more. I hope that all of you listening did as well. I hope you got hyped for 2024, especially here in part two, as we kind of went away from all of the doom and gloom and the dark clouds and the challenges of 2023. Turn the page and look forward to everything we're excited about. Of course, beginning with Daytona coming up for you, stay tuned to all the social channels this week. We are going to have a great team down on the ground at Daytona, the international home of speed, bringing you as much coverage as we possibly can. I'll have sit-downs with all sorts of different riders. Trevor DeYoung going to check in with Team BattleX, everybody in the Bridgestone family, so many Canadians down there. Thanks for following along. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you from Daytona coming up in just a few days.